I'm sure thankful for Thanksgiving because it reminds me to say thank you to you. We've just had a wonderful service already, and if I wasn't anticipating a real strong amen, I'd say we could just say amen and we're done. You all are a huge blessing to Cindy and me and to people 9,000 miles away. Thank you for your kindness and your generosity and your love for each other and for others who are looking for God. Let me reminisce just a little bit. I love to go to the mountains in the fall. I'm just a hillbilly from birth. And you're looking at bare rock in the Dolly Sods, looking off into the Allegheny Mountain Range in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Northern Virginia. It's called Bear Rock because there's some bare rocks there, but it's also spelled B-E-A-R for a good reason in those cranberry glades. And then you're looking at another beautiful fall scene in Stowe, Vermont, where all the hard maples are, and that's why you get the splendorous color of the oranges and the yellows, not so much red maple. And then I'm just reminded at this time of year, man, we need to get out and rake leaves. We got two puny little trees, but we got a little bit of leaves. But Jared, I'm going to ask you to think about all of the people. I said Jared because he's our deacon in charge of widows. And I'm just thinking there might be some widows who have some leaves in their gutters or leaves on the ground or just something. We could go pile them up and then jump in them, you know. And so just a wonderful opportunity this time of year to serve others and to say thank you. And so I want to take us back almost 250 years for just a little bit of thankfulness. If Mr. Sparks is correct in his volume 12 on page 119 in regard to Mr. George Washington, our country was very grateful, and our Congress asked that the president make this declaration. He says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, request me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and their happiness." Mr. President went on to say, "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interposition of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed." Let me catch my breath. We don't write like that anymore. This is great literature expressing thankfulness to God. He goes on to say, "For the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite to most humbly affirm our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, parenthesis, especially such as who have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. It was given under the hand of George Washington, City of New York, third day of October, 1789. Don't you wish we spoke like that today? Don't you wish our representative republic spoke like that? Whether they do or not, we need to. These are the ways we need to speak. One of the judgments of the Gentile nations in Romans 1 is they do not honor or give thanks to God. In this place, we will honor God. In this place, we will give thanks to God. And we've done that today. I want us to think about the tragedy of ungratefulness. It rings in my ears from 40 years ago when Dee Bowman talked about one of the most treacherous sins is to be ungrateful. And yet, perhaps many have been. And that's not unique to our generation. The first century was warned that people would be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Charis, the word we get charity or thankfulness. This is against that. And that's what you're seeing there in that brief note from the Greek. And so people become heartless and unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Our mass media can sure show us a lot of that if we choose to feed on it. But I want to say thank you to you today. I want us to think about what Greg read to us from 1 Thessalonians. Here's a church who is new. It's an infant church. And the Jews are pummeling these people who've come to Christ. And Paul has had to leave in a hurry, and he sent Timothy back. How are you? I'm praying for you all the time. Are you okay? And so he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a thanksgiving letter. This is a letter to express to these people how much Paul appreciates their faith. And he's rejoicing that Timothy's been able to come back with very good news. There's an important precedent here. And that is, for those of us who have the privilege to speak to you, we need to say thank you. Thank you for holding up our hands and seeking to speak truth, to live truth, to hold us accountable. We need to say how much we appreciate what you do to encourage us. And so thank you for that opportunity. You know, people shouldn't need to be thanked for their faithfulness, for their loving kindness, for their mercy, for their tenderness, for their compassion, for their resolution to endure. We need to say that to you. It's truly a sad thing when Christians only get noticed when they do something wrong. We've been working through some pretty challenging thoughts this year, but I felt like today was the day I needed to pause and say, thank you. Not knowing if our young comrade, who may still be in Banff with his lovely bride, is coming back. We hope he is, and I think he'd like to have one opportunity this month to speak. I just wanted to take the day to say thank you. We're not put on this earth primarily to see through one another, but to see one another through. And encouragement helps. So I want to thank you, families. I want to thank families for giving your children to the Lord. Parents who try really hard to bring up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents who spend time investing in their children and in their children's spiritual well-being. Prayerfully, we're more concerned that our children are always with God's people whenever God's people are assembling. There is the pressure, particularly in our culture, the pressure for our kids to be the best on the sports team and in academics. And when we step back and look 40, 50 years later, whether they were on the junior high all-star team or not isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. It's really not going to matter. Now, some of you folks have brilliant children. I mean, they're getting a 36 on the SAT, which is, I think, as high as you can get. They are brilliant academically, but it doesn't matter how smart you are. If you're an ungrateful wretch who does not care to honor God, you're lost. And so we want to communicate to our children what really matters long term. And if you must make a choice, and you must, as to whether my child will be in Bible study Wednesday evening or on the basketball court, I pray you'll choose the Bible study to know more about God. But it'll be your choice, and your children will most likely learn to follow your choices. So thanks to parents who are more concerned not to disappoint the Lord rather than the coach or the music or band director. Thanks for being here every assembly. In my mind right now, and I'm not going to tell you, in my mind right now, I'm thinking of some of you widows. And yeah, Charlie, I'll throw you in there with them, you know. That you got to have aches and pains. You've got to hurt. You've got to be lonely. You may be a widower, and it is hard to come. And yet you come over and over. We would know that if you were not here, something was seriously wrong because of your allegiance to God and your desire to encourage His people. And so we're looking forward to new studies this next year. The bulletin has a good bit of information for us. Most of us are hurting people. Most of us are wounded people. Most of us have scars. And we're looking to bring about healing through recovery through Christ. And that's going to be a wonderful endeavor to help us help each other to heal. And so thanks to every one of you who are servants in the kingdom. Thanks to husbands and wives who are serving each other, devoted to building each other up in every good way. And thanks to you who are husbands and wives who are team teachers. You see, there are some little boys and there are some little girls who they don't know the love of parents and they don't have a dad in their home. And when you men can join with your wife in helping those little kids, and those kids can sit in your life, and you can help them, and you can be tender, and you can teach them about God, that is powerful work. You may never stand up here, But if you stand in the hearts of those children, you're teaching them about what God looks like and what God's love looks like. That's great work for the king. And so God bless you for doing that. You, young man, just filled my heart today. Because I thought, Richard said, is this part of a sermon outline? I just made about 10 copies. I said, I was afraid I'd scare everybody if they saw there were 7 pages in the outline. And yet I thought, oh, well, we need one of those handouts where all the kids can write down all the songs, all the times the word God is mentioned. McLean's got it all written out. He's all ready to go. And so you guys, oh, and now you're going to have to look over and see if he did it. I can show it to you, okay? Yeah, he really did. You guys listen, and you listen well. And I know I lean left here, but you young ladies, you listen really well too. And you're really on it, and that is so encouraging because I want you to know about God. But what I want you to know about God is be thankful for him. And I want to just quickly look at what some things Darcy Kimmel wrote. She and her husband wrote a book about extreme grandparenting. I thought I wanted to be an extreme grandparent. I just wanted to be one. And so as you think about just some of these things quickly, about ways to build gratitude in our children's hearts, you start with God. Psalm 78 is one of these great historical songs that tells us to teach our children to put their confidence in God. So make sure your children are reminded every day of the words and actions that God is the giver of every good gift. And then secondly, lead the way. Your kids learn gratitude by seeing gratitude, by hearing gratitude. How you speak to your wife speaks volumes to your children. Do your children see, my dad loves my mom by the way he graciously responds to her with kindness, with service, with honor, with respect? And it cuts both ways, doesn't it, ladies? Gratitude to your spouse, a natural part of your conversation. You want your kids to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am? Let them hear you say it. You're priming the pump for your children to know that you're grateful, not only for their mother, but for them as well. And can I say, we need to quit complaining. We need to quit grumbling. I think it's about 10 times that's noticed in the book of Numbers about the children of Israel. Complaining and whining is something that our kids pick up on and they begin doing it really well. We hear it in them, but do we hear it in ourselves? Do you and I need an attitude adjustment? And here's one to think about in our culture. Less is more. Remember that indulging children only makes them less grateful for what they have. Next time you're tempted to give them more just to keep them happy, stop and help them be happy with what they have. Be careful, please, parents, with just inundating your kids with stuff. They're going to have their own rental facility before you know it just to store the stuff. Your kids want you, not your stuff. And then we have to. And please don't think, I'm preaching to me, and if you can get something out of it, great. But we need to learn to say no. And we don't have to say it 3 times. I'm listening to Scott Smelser in my head right now. Once is enough. We don't have to count to 3. No. Our children have the same selfish nature that we do. And if it's left unchecked, it's going to consume them. Don't be afraid to put a limit on how much stuff they have or how many things they get to do. When you say no to some things, it makes your children notice and be grateful for the times when you say yes. So teach them the value of what they have. One of the best ways to do this is to help them earn. That's E-A-R-N. Earn the next want that they have. When a child actually has to work for the money or the privilege to satisfy, oh, I just have to have that. He or she can be much more appreciative of its value. You know when teen boys quit burning the tires off of the car that their dad gives them? When they have to buy the tire. I don't know how I would know anything about that, but anyway, we want to show and teach self-government. Learning to say no to ourselves is a really important thing, and learning to say, I got enough. I don't have to buy more toys for myself or for my kids or my grandkids. We have enough. And to help our children to express gratitude. Make sure that we're training our children to honor those who are serving them. Lunch ladies, somebody fixed your lunch. Teachers who spend a lot of hours preparing your Bible studies. Piano teachers, coaches, school teachers. Teach your children to show gratefulness to those who are serving them. And let them see the other side. Now, Darcy wrote this before that typhoon hit. But there is a value to go and see how 75% of the world live. There's a real value in that. They got a metal roof and some concrete blocks. Malakabibi, as Jerry indicated, is flood zone. It kept flooding and kept flooding, and finally the government said, we can't keep it, so you can have it. And that's why Bonifacio, we call him Bonnie, Morales. You can see the flood in his house. And if you've ever cleaned up from a flood and all the debris and the mud and the muck. Now, floods happen in the United States. We don't need to forget. It hadn't been too long ago when the mountains in North Carolina got hit really hard. Cindy and I were over there shortly afterwards. And people rose to the occasion to help. Philippines aren't the only people who suffer those kind of things. But we need to have our kids get in there and help with cleanup, to quit thinking so much about me and think more about others. And then count your many blessings. Have your children recount ways that God has provided for them that day. One of our drills with our grandchildren, particularly the youngest of the girls, we'll say, well, what was the favorite part of your day? And before we eat, we all share what was a favorite part of our day. It's a good thing to think about, a good way to learn Thanksgiving. And Miss Darcy mentions also that we need to be patient. I have another document that talks about all of the experiences around the world. We're not going to share that right now. Children's natural propensity is to focus on what they want, not what they have. And any character trait takes time and practice to become a habit. Let's show gratefulness and thankfulness. Have you noticed in your neighborhood, just a side, do you ever see hardly any demonstration of Thanksgiving in the celebrations in the neighborhood? My experience is October 31st, everything's dark and gloomy and wicked and evil. And then November 1st, it's the gifts are coming. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving? We are uniquely poised in our country. Most countries don't celebrate this. Uniquely poised to think about others right now and to serve them. And so moms and dads, let's seize the moment. Because character building is hard work. But it pays off big time in the lives of our children, in our future relationships with them. We need to pray for our children and model gratitude in our own life. One day, they'll be grateful. And so I want to read you a little story, and then we'll conclude. This, I'm presuming, is a true story. I found it from years ago by Andrea Nanette Maya. She said, it was the day before Thanksgiving, the first one my three children and I would be spending without their father, who had left several months before. Now, the two older children were very sick. They had the flu. And the eldest had just been prescribed for bed rest for 1 week. It's a cool day outside. Light rain was falling. And I grew wearier as I scurried around trying to care for each child. Thermometers, juice, diapers. And I was fast running out of liquids for the kids. But when I checked my purse, I found I had $2.50. And this was supposed to last me until the end of the month. That's when I heard the phone ring. It was the secretary from our former church. And she told me that they had been thinking about us and had something to give us from the congregation. I told her that I was going out to pick up some more juice and soup for the children, and I dropped by the church on my way to the market. I arrived at the church just before lunch. The church secretary met me at the door and handed me a special gift envelope. "We think of you and the kids often," she said. "And you're in our hearts and prayers. We love you." When I opened the envelope, I found two grocery certificates inside. Each was worth $20. Does that tell you that's probably an older story? I was so touched and moved that I broke down and cried. "Thank you very much," I said as we hugged each other. "Please give our love and thanks to the church." Then I drove to a store near our home and purchased some much-needed items for the children. At the checkout counter, I had a little over $14 worth of groceries, and I handed the cashier one of the gift certificates. She took it then and kind of turned her back for what seemed like a very long time. I thought something might be wrong. Finally, I said, "This gift certificate is a real blessing. Our former church gave it to our family knowing that I'm a single parent trying to make ends meet." The cashier then turned around with tears in her loving eyes and replied, "Honey, that's wonderful. Do you have a turkey?" "No, it's okay because my children are sick anyway." She then asked, "Do you have anything else for Thanksgiving dinner?" She replied, "No." And after handing me the change from the certificate, she looked at my face and said, "Honey, I can't tell you exactly why right now, but I want you to go back into the store and buy a turkey and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie and anything else you need for Thanksgiving dinner." I was shocked and humbled to tears. "Are you sure?" I asked. "Yes, get whatever you want. And get some Gatorade for the kids." I felt awkward as I went back to do more shopping, but I selected a fresh turkey and a few yams and potatoes and some juices for the children. Then I wheeled the shopping cart up to the same cashier as before. And as I placed my groceries on the counter, she looked at me once more with giant tears in her kind eyes and began to speak. She said, "Now I can tell you. This morning I prayed that I can help someone today, and you walked through my line." She reached under the counter for her purse, took out a $20 bill. She paid for my groceries and then handed me the change. Once more, I was moved to tears. The sweet cashier then said, "I am a Christian. Here is my phone number if you ever need anything." She then took my head in her hands, kissed my cheek, and said, "God bless you, honey." And as I walked to my car, I was overwhelmed by the stranger's love and by the realization that God loves my family too, and showed us his love through this stranger and my church's kind deeds. The children were supposed to have spent Thanksgiving with their father that year, but because of the flu, they were home with me for a very special Thanksgiving day. They were feeling better, and we all ate the goodness of the Lord's bounty and our community's love, and our hearts were truly filled with thanks. Our Filipino brethren need our help, but it may be people right in our neighborhood who need our help. There may be struggling single parents who desperately need our help. There may be Haitians who've moved into our community who don't really know what Thanksgiving's all about, but perhaps we could show them this year the love of God, because I am a Christian. The grace of God has appeared. It's bringing salvation to everybody, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing in glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. I pray that'll be me. Not just this Thanksgiving, but every day, to have grateful hearts and to express thanks to God for his indescribable gift. If you're not yet in Christ, I hope that the love of Christ might compel you to choose to serve him even today as we stand and sing.